Hi, this is Nancy Clare. Welcome to episode 106 of Speaking of Mysteries. Our guest for this podcast is Scott Reardon, whose debut thriller, The Prometheus Man, was published 2 weeks ago on January 24th. You'll notice that the recording is a bit uneven. Scott was incredibly patient with what turned out to be a wonky recording connection on my end. Fortunately, his answers are clear. My questions on the original recording, however, not so much. So I re-recorded the questions. My apologies for the uneven sound. That said, here's Scott Reardon talking about The Prometheus Man. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. Today we're talking to Scott Reardon, whose first novel, The Prometheus Man, has just been published. Congratulations, Scott, and welcome.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on, by the way.
Oh, it's our pleasure, absolutely. It must be a real thrill to have your first novel published. I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah. I worked really hard at it. I was at a full-time job when I started it, and I just sort of kept my shoulder to the wheel for a long time and got a lot of rejection, and I sort of sailed upward to a point where the rejections got really nice, and then I got an agent and sold the book.
You're a guy with a young family and a full-time job. What compelled you to devote what little free time you had to writing a novel?
Yeah, well, at the time I started Prometheus Man, I wasn't married yet. I didn't have any kids. So I'd just wake up early in the morning and I'd write for an hour or two, or you know, maybe even 3 hours sometimes, and then I'd go into work. And if there was ever a lull at work, which was turned out to be pretty rare, you know, I'd pull up my laptop and do a little bit of work on it, and it just sort of snowballed.
And who were your influences?
You know, I really love Stephen King. Stephen King is someone I've been reading since I was 13 years old. And I just love the suspense that he creates, this eerie feeling. I love the characters, how deep he gets into their psyches and how you feel someone is being pushed to his limits. I love that. So I really sort of worship at the altar of Stephen King. He's my first love, and he's one of the people who got me into reading and writing. And I also really like Cormac McCarthy, and I love Gillian Flynn. I just really like those darker writers.
The Prometheus Man is pretty dark, and I guess it would be easy to dismiss the stem cell experiments that lie at the heart of your story as sci-fi, but they're actually being carried out only on animals, or so we're told.
Yes, what I have in the book is pushing the science a little bit, but not that much. And actually, the book is partially inspired by this real-life stem cell experiment they did on mice at the University of Colorado, where they took these mice and they injured their limb. And that attracted the interest of the stem cells when they injected the stem cells into the limbs. And as a result, these limbs grew such that they doubled in size and strength, and they stayed that way for the life of each mouse. So it didn't have to exercise or do anything. It just was sort of this super mouse, and it could just lay around all day and do nothing, and it just retained these tremendous capabilities. And they can do all sorts of other things, too. They've broken the spines of mice. They've even done it with cats, and they can give them partial motor recovery. It's pretty crazy.
What's your methodology in integrating technology? Obviously, the tech that's available to anyone with a smartphone today would have been the stuff of Bondian wonders 50 years ago. Did you feel challenged by the idea that the technology you mentioned in The Prometheus Man, like dark web, Google, geotagging, might seem as quaint as James Bond's watch/telex machine?
I'm actually a very quaint guy. I have an old cell phone. I use my computer just to write and to go online and to go into Excel, and that's about it.
In the technology of today, and you really didn't think about, you know, is this going to seem outdated or is this – because to be fair, it's not integral to the story, but your characters do use it. They use the technology. They use modern 2016/2017 technology to do what they need to do.
Aside from the technology, The Prometheus Man is a thriller with noir overtones. It's a story of revenge and redemption for two of the main characters, Carl and Tom, who take turns as hunter and quarry. What do you think Carl is looking for, and Tom, beyond finding out what happened to his brother, which brings him into the story, is he looking at what might come after he reaches his goal, that is, if he does reach it?
Yeah, it is. I really wanted to... So the book is, you know, about this guy who is a 22-year-old man, and his older brother dies, and his older brother was basically the only family he had, and this is a very quiet guy, and, you know, he sort of cast adrift in the world afterwards, and I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to pull the reader into his world where he, you know, really has nothing stopping him from doing anything he can to find the people who did it, and it's sort of something that orders his life and gives his life meaning, and that's what he wants to do. He feels like when his brother died and the murder was never solved, that these people weren't just killing his brother, they were, you know, making it seem like his life meant nothing. And so he's trying to fix that, and he finds when he does that, you know, he's doing all these things, he's breaking the law, that imposes a cost on his own life. And so in a very real sense, you know, the justice is a wonderful thing, and we see it a lot in thrillers. You know, thrillers are about justice. But in real life, there's a cost to that. You know, justice is about looking backwards, and that's important, but at a certain point, you have to move forward.
Well, I found Carl, the man who's pursuing Tom, as interesting as Tom in some ways.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, what do you think Carl is looking for? I mean, the obvious answer is he's looking for Tom, but it seems like he's looking for more beyond Tom in this. You know,
he's the one who's supposed to hunt Tom down. Tom steals the identity of the CIA agent, and then he gets discovered by Carl accidentally. And Carl's a snake eater. He's one of these operators at the CIA, and he's the one who's tasked with hunting Tom down. And I think what happens is he finds out that Tom is a part of this experimental program that Carl set up. And so he feels some responsibility for that. And then also I think he just grows to admire Tom. You know, the more he learns about him, he's hunting him down and he's learning more about this guy. And I think he just develops this long distance respect for him and just ultimately says, you know, I can't do what I've been tasked to do. So I was trying to, I thought that was kind of a cool thing, this sort of long distance admiration.
But they're both, Carl and Tom, both these characters, I thought they were interesting parallels because they both had lost everything. And they both were looking for something. I mean, Carl is looking for Tom, and Tom is looking for answers to what happened to his brother. So that's why I thought it was a great kind of parallel journey.
I'm so happy you enjoyed that. That's exactly what I was going for. I wanted their stories to be parallel and for them almost to be, you know, hitting this similar emotional beat. Where they're both sort of moving, they're moving in parallel, but yet they're sort of moving closer to each other in some way.
And of course, there is a bad guy.
There's another character in the book that is both a being sought and also pursuing both Tom and Carl, and that's Boghossian. And I found it kind of interesting that he becomes the catalyst for Carl. He makes Carl want to maybe not do as much damage to Tom as he did initially. Is that an accurate way to describe it?
Yeah, I mean, it starts out, Carl has set up this is a part of this stem cell experiment with another character who's a higher up in the CIA. And there's another character, Boghossian, who is their first human test subject. And he's someone who Carl was close with, and he was very upset when he found out what happened to him. He had these people gaze and experience these terrible side effects. And they definitely share a connection. And Carl, for much of the novel, doesn't even know about Boghazian.
Another interesting thing in the book you have is how Tom hoodwinks the CIA and takes on another agent's identity without them knowing it. That was both amusing and kind of scary.
I'm so happy you like that. Yeah, I thought I came up with a very interesting way to steal a CIA agent's identity. I looked at the Valerie Plame scandal where someone, or at least it was alleged, that someone in the Bush White House had outed this woman, Valerie Plame, who was an undercover CIA agent. And it's funny, when you read about what happened, you see that actually Valerie Plame had a pretty thin cover in some ways. And if you knew who she was, when she goes overseas, you could just steal her identity. You know, the CIA is not putting that in a centralized database where thousands of people have access to it. They'd be crazy to do that. It would jeopardize her life or any overseas agent's life. So I thought, you know, if you can figure out who's in the CIA and they leave the country and switch identities, you could just take their identity. But I thought I came up with something pretty cool. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, no, I did. So we've got these two characters, and I'm just wondering, first of all, Carl, you never really talk about his last name. Tom Reese goes to the airport to meet him in Paris and holds up a sign that says Lion. So I'm wondering, is that actually Carl's last name?
Yeah, that's his actual name. His real name is Carl Lyons.
Is The Prometheus Man a standalone, or are you working on another book where we get to see Tom Reese and Carl Lyons again?
I am, yeah. I'm actually trying to get my publisher a completed draft of the second book, which I'm really excited about, in about a month. So yeah, I've been working on that, and I think I've come up with a really cool story. It's going to be, you know, sort of a bigger story than the first one. I'm really excited about it, and I really love writing.
The same characters in the book?
The same characters, and then there's also a new female character in the second book.
I think it would be nice to continue their story, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was really excited. My agent sold Mulholland two books, so they read the first book, and they said, before they made me an offer on it, they said, you know, would you want to do a second book? And I was chomping at the bit for a second book. I'd in fact already written 20,000 words of it. So my agent said, don't get into that. You know, don't get into the weeds on pitching them on a second book. Just, you know, stick to this one and, you know, tell them you're interested in writing a second book if you are. And, you know, I started talking about that with someone at Mulholland, and that all went by the wayside. We wound up talking about the second book and getting into the plot of it and everything, and evidently they liked what they heard, and they bought both books.
That's fantastic. That's really great. And any idea when the tentative pub date for that is?
They haven't set one yet. They're waiting. They're waiting with bated breath over there for this thing. So they, I don't want to get myself in trouble by mentioning any dates, but they obviously would like to have it out sometime, or, you know, a year after Prometheus Man's come out. Prometheus Man has now been out for about a week.
The Prometheus Man was published on January 24th, 2017, and you had your launch party at a Mysterious Bookshop in New York City, which, of course, is ground zero for mystery and thriller writers all over the world. So that must have been really, really great.
Oh, yeah, it was great. We had a great launch party. It's a beautiful bookstore. It was a wonderful time, and I don't know. It was nice to have my family and so many of our friends there.
And
it celebrate something I worked so hard on.
And you're going to have an event in Los Angeles at Chevalier Books with Joe Eday, who wrote IQ. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm going there tonight.
The stories are very different, but each one deals with a young man who has lost his older brother. And that's sort of an interesting parallel.
Yeah, I noticed that too while I was reading it.
So that's really terrific. Well, thank you, Scott, for your time, and I look forward to reading the follow-up to The Prometheus Man and hopefully seeing you and Joe maybe at the bookstore.
I'd love that.
So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.